Okay. So what's going on here today?
Well, it's a rally. There's lots of different people here. It's anti-war rally, and it's a rally in support of a lot of the people who were arrested in last year at the port protests when a bunch of people were blocking the war there. And also there's protesters of Prop 8 from California who are here too.
Can you give us a little background about what about the port protests here in Olympia?
So people have been coming out against the war for several years, several different here at the Port of Olympia, also Port of Tacoma. They've been blocking the vehicles of war, the strikers, as they're coming back into the port, as they're going out to the war in Iraq. And so the effort is to actually stop the Port of Olympia, our civilian ports, from being used to help the war effort and to profit off the war. So today, we'll be raising funds for the legal defense for these 26, mostly women, who are being prosecuted now. And I guess the big message is that we're not criminals here. We're just trying to stop the war, and the criminals are the war makers.
So the last port protest in Olympia were in November of last year. Why are they waiting till now to start these prosecutions of port protesters?
I'm not sure. I think maybe they were hesitating because of resources, and but the Olympian, the editorial board of the Olympian a couple weeks ago, well, they've been sort of harassing the government to charge protesters. So I think that's one of the main reasons why it's happening now. Why did they wait? I'm not sure. Maybe they didn't really want to do it. Maybe they wanted to cause more trouble because people would be gone. They could do it for 2 years within the law, so seems to me just to cause more trouble, and not sure they're up to it.
Can you tell us about the women's action and what that was like?
Well, a group of women got together wanting to make connections between violence against women and war and militarism, make the connection how war is especially hard for women, destroying homes, destroying families, and the violence against women that comes with war every time. So we wanted to bring that message out, and also just do a nonviolent action where we were blocking stuff, and where people feel comfortable. So we just went in and sat down in front of the entrance, and we were threatened with chemical weapons, and eventually just sort of boringly got arrested, and spent half the night in jail, partially clothed. They made us strip down to our first layer of clothing. I'm not sure why, and then left half of us in a drafty, cold, garage-like area. So that's what it was like.
So what's going on here today?
We're gonna talk to each other. We got a PA, and different people are gonna speak and make different connections. There's radical women down from Seattle, different people meeting together. So we're going to just talk to each other, and then we're going to have a march over to the port. Got some signs. So I guess we're doing outreach, and we're connecting with other people who are here in the sunshine.
Awesome. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you to our sponsors and supporters. This rally was called.
I think we just need to block the war.
With support from the Olympian Movement for Justice.
Right on.
Thank you to Seattle Radical Women Freedom Social.
Hi. My name is Amy Valentine, and I'm one of the 26 defendants.
Talk louder!
I'm one of the 26 defendants for this particular case. And I wanted to talk about why I participated in the women's action of November 13th of last year. And I want to talk specifically about the effects of war on women and children. So I work for Safe Place Olympia, which is a local shelter and program for survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault. And so I brought a lot of my analysis of sexual violence to my participation in this demonstration. I'm also really nervous, so pardon me if I'm... Okay, so sexual violence is about power and control. It's about the power to take. If you listen to the language of war, you will hear penetrator missiles. This is my rifle. This is my gun. This is for fighting. This is for fun. You'll hear or see a lot of the imperialist as an abuser. His human rights count, not yours. His land is invulnerable, not yours. He has the right to speak for you, represent you, take your language, and turn it against you. The night of the rally, a woman who is participating in the counter-demonstration shouted at our supporters, male and female, "What are you, pussies?" And it goes on. I believe that to end rape, one must work to end all forms of oppression, because they are intertwined, and one will be used to strengthen another. Racism uses sexual violence. Imperialism uses sexual violence. The language of weakness, of power and control. She wanted it, or they asked for it. She can't govern herself. She needs a father or husband or brother. They can't govern themselves. Father knows best. He's the decider. And as folks chanted at Palin's speech, as Eve Ensler so wonderfully pointed out, drill, baby, drill. The extraction of resources, the decimation of land and life. What constitutes a body? A civil body. A body politic. The penetration and destruction of a community looks a lot like the invasion of a body. The ownership of human beings, bodies, lands, communities, minds, wounds. The only way to fight this mentality is to come together against it. Speak out against it. All forms of oppression are interrelated. This system is corrupt. It is founded on genocide and rape. It thrives on the consumption of human lives. Whose land are we on? We talk about occupiers of land and bodies. Whose land are we on? And those of us who see this must come together to end it. So I just want to say thank you for your solidarity and support.
Okay. I want to thank Karen Weil for coming down from Bellingham. And Karen, thank you, Betsy. I want to thank Karen Weil for coming down from Bellingham to speak today. Karen is an expert when it comes to legal issues. She's a legal observer for the National Lawyers Guild, and she has been a part of our legal team defending individuals who've been unjustly arrested while demonstrating against this damn war through port militarization resistance efforts in the last 2.5 years. And Karen?
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me. I remember when the war first started, and I was having an argument with a friend of ours in Berkeley. And in that argument, he felt that the war against at least Afghanistan was just. And one of his points was that they, the ubiquitous they, don't value life like we do here in the United States. This was a man who had marched against the war in Vietnam. And when we pointed out that they had said the same thing about the Vietnamese back in the 1960s and the 1970s, he still didn't get the connection between what had happened in Vietnam and what was happening in Afghanistan and Iraq. And the thing that's interesting about that for me is that history has shown over time that that statement was incorrect, that that statement was, again, one of the ways that we have disillusioned that statement. We have seen that the Vietnamese were fighting for their own country and against imperialism, just as much as we're fighting against imperialism today. I want to take a look at the statement, they don't value life the way we do. In Mogadishu, Somalia, we invaded and we killed anywhere from 1,000 to 10,000 people. When did most Americans rise up against that? When 19 of our own soldiers were killed there. When we talk about who values life and who doesn't, I want you to think about those numbers, okay? Thousands on one side, 19 on ours. Now let's take a look at Afghanistan and Iraq. They don't keep count of the civilians that are killed there. They don't even keep count of the so-called Iraqi insurgents that are killed there. They don't even pretend to try to keep count with the lives of Afghanis or Iraqis. Think about why the government doesn't do that. Think about what happened when they were keeping count of the quote-unquote insurgents in Vietnam and what happened with that information, and why they might possibly not be keeping count here. But more importantly to me, why isn't the public demanding it? Why aren't we as Americans saying, no, we want to know what the numbers are? And I'll tell you why I think it's so. I think it's because we also don't value life in the way that they do. We believe that no other life counts as much as an American life. Even worse, we believe that a brown skin life does not mean as much as a white skin life. And if you have any doubts about that, start taking a look at the statistics on police abuse and police brutality, the number of people that the police are killing and what colors are their skins, at the number of brown skinned people in jail compared to the number of people who actually commit crimes and the numbers that they are in the population. You can couple that with our history. At one point in time, if you were brown-skinned in this country, you only counted as three-fifths of a person. Lynchings were committed in this country where people would bring their picnics and their children, and they would have picnics laid out underneath the person who'd been lynched, and they would laugh and point this out to their children as they're eating. Does anybody know what the largest single organization in the United States history has ever been? The Ku Klux Klan, you are absolutely right. 10 million people at its height in 1920s and 1910s and 1920s. Folks, that was only about 100 years ago. We talk about the Civil War as if it's ended a long time ago, but it hasn't. It's still going on today, and that's the one single biggest reason why we're so excited about Obama being elected. This is imperialism. This is the belief that we know better than you because we are better than you. We understand democracy better than you, and we're going to bring it to your country. At the end of a gun, of course, but none of the stirring, inspiring speakers bother to include that image in their speeches. And the roots of imperialism is patriarchy. Patriarchy is also the belief that we know better than you. But now it's based on the fact that I'm a man and you're a woman, although that's a simplified version. And because patriarchy covers so many issues and is more than just man versus woman. Add to that the number of civilians that are being killed, with estimates as high as 1.6 million in Iraq. The majority of those people are women and children. When we talk about not valuing human life, let us add the fact that we do not add value to the equation in Iraq because we do not count the women and children that we are killing over there. And this also is a very simplified version of a complex issue when we just talk about women as if they're only victims. We in America believe that feminism is only about women and women's liberation, but that is the simple explanation. We in feminism have to stop that and start looking at feminism and patriarchy in its complexity. That means we have to start including anti-racism, anti-imperialism, and anti-militarism within our feminism. We have to begin what Professor Sanara Tabati calls intersectional analysis. This is where you look at the three points of history, context, and power relations. What are the power relations in this situation? It's not coincidental that they kill women and children. It's not coincidental that they killed another 10 civilians in Pakistan this last week. And that is what these women who did this action have done. They have stood up to military power, to the representatives of imperialism, as women, and in the name of the community of women. One of the most enduring images we have against war is the individual, the lone individual, standing up against the tanks. The man in Tiananmen Square with his arms outstretched. It's burned into our memories. It's burned into the memories of every generation that ever saw that image. And it is not just because of his courage, although that is definitely part of it. It is also because we all identify with that terrifying act. It is what we all want to do, we long to do, to stand up to power and say, no, not in my name. And these women, I'm so proud of them, these women have done that. They stood up and they sat down. They sat down in the name of community and in the name of the community of women. These are often the last people who get any power. These are the women who have the most to lose, their children. The women here have stood up for the women in Iraq, and they said, not in our names, not to our sisters. And I say, you go, girl. Patty had also asked me to mention a little something about the legal issues. One of the things that I want to point out is that the city has lost on almost every charge that they brought against the people who were protesting last year. And the Olympian got very angry about that and put out more than one editorial calling for people to protest against the fact that the protesters weren't being charged. So lo and behold, they started bringing charges in the last week before the year was up that they could bring charges, which is very interesting. It's very late. It's very unusual for them to charge this late. And it's clear that this is an intersection between the political and the legal issues, and that charges are being brought because somebody in the community is saying and demanding it. You want to think about what are the influences on your justice system. Justice is supposed to be blind, but means she's also supposed to be deaf and not hearing this kind of influence on her, and it's happened, and it's happened in our town, and we need to think about that. I was going to make a second point, and now I don't remember what it was. Do you remember? We talked about that a minute ago. Help. Anyway, I'm very angry. I'm very angry that this is happening. We are definitely going to fight it. And I very much appreciate seeing the community come out to support these amazing, amazing women who have finally said, no, not in my name, and you need to think about what this means. The fact that it's women who sat down there and said it in the name of women says so much more than just we are against the war, and I'm so, so very proud of them. Thank you.
about 5 more minutes where, and at that point we're going to begin our march. And but first we have one more speaker here, and I want to introduce Kathleen, who is with Seattle Radical Women. Seattle Radical Women have been amazing, amazing supporters of this anti-war effort ever since November of last year, and especially supportive of those taking part in the Women's Solidarity demonstration. So please give a great welcome to Kathleen.
Hi, it's really good to be here. Like Patty said, I'm with Radical Women in Seattle. We brought a small contingent down. You know, one question that I had to ask is, why are they going after the women? You know, and I think Thurston County must think that they're trying to silence the most vulnerable, that they're going after the weak link in the chain. Okay,
that's it.
So they're going after women and queers and people of color. But, you know, there's an African saying that says, you know, if you've struck a woman, you've struck a rock. And that's why we call, you know, the women are the warriors. They are the most impacted by the war. As Amory and Karen have said, they're the most impacted by the occupation of Iraq and Afghanistan, by sexism and racism in the U.S. military, by cuts in services at home to pay for the war and to pay for the bailout of the financial giants here. And that's why we think war is a feminist issue. Too often those issues are still peripheral in the anti-war movement, and we really need to bring them right to the front to make this movement strong. And Radical Women recently had a conference in the Bay Area, and one of our mandates for ourselves is to build a feminist movement that is independent of the twin parties of war and reaction. And that's going to make a big difference in this country and in the anti-war movement. I want to say the truth is that women and people of color and immigrants and queers have the most to lose, the most to gain, and the least to lose. And historically, and quite naturally, they rise to the leadership of these movements. It's obvious with Olympia PMR, and with the last November's women's actions, and now with the OLE 26. And the OLE 26 are providing a very important leadership with their fight back now. In Olympia, in Seattle, and nationally, this struggle needs to be spread nationally to get support from the whole U.S. anti-war movement. And Radical Women wants to help do that. Especially now, the working class, and that's all of us, liberals, socialists, anarchists, communists, Democrats, organized labor, veterans, immigrants, we need to unite together to defend each other against the war at home and the war abroad. So Thurston County, drop the charges. Dissent is not a crime. Support the OLE 26.
Okay, we have a couple more statements, but we're going to do them en route. And just, we handed out copies of the map route, and basically what we're going to do is we're going to converge near the lamp pole right here, and probably within 4 minutes we're going to march as a group. And we're going to basically go 2 blocks down Capitol, we'll be turning right on 4th, then we'll be turning left on Franklin, and heading straight to the port area. We're going to
stop briefly at Market and Franklin for a commemoration statement specifically aimed at the port commissioners for their involvement with crimes against peace. And then we're going to end at the tower. We'll have a couple more talks at the tower. Katie O is going to be talking specifically about Sham's bogus experience with our injustice system. And you know, thank you for joining with us today. And last, I ask everybody to do all you can to help keep our activists and supporters safe from police violence and any fundamentalist violence during today's gathering. So thank you for marching with us today in this symbolic act of solidarity.
We're going to be passing around donation buckets. If you have any pennies or dollars, you can imagine with 26 defendants, and it's, we still don't know if they're going to join all of our cases. We're hoping so. There's a strong possibility that we're going to be divided up into possibly five separate groups. We hope that's not the case, but the cost for legal defense is going to be quite high. Many of us are going to go pro se. Some have requested public defenders. but we do need to secure and have secured legal counsel that will accept a low bono rate. The costs are going to be quite high. We'll have a number of fundraising events over the next 4 months, but every penny counts at this point, especially to reimburse people who this is outrageous. I believe it's unconstitutional, but people who requested public defenders were charged up to $75. Public defense is supposed to be free. So we need to reimburse those people as well as create a legal challenge to their ability to be able to do that.
Hi, I had wanted to make a couple of announcements. The first one is that Larry and I have been invited to Venezuela to be election monitors, and so if there's anybody in the crowd who wants to talk to us a little bit about that, especially if you've already been down there, we haven't, and would really appreciate calling on the knowledge of the community that would help us while we're down there. The other thing I'm going to do while I'm down there is talk to several of the women's groups. There is a women's bank, and there's other women's organizations that are working on women's issues down there. I'm going to talk to them about the 26th and see if we can start developing an international solidarity on this issue. The other thing I wanted to let you know is 2 days ago, the Planned Parenthood in Bellingham received a bomb scare. That was where the building was evacuated for 4 hours. Some student had left her backpack on the bench right outside the front door, and the police came and blew it up. It turned out to be a backpack. It wasn't a bomb, but it was still a really scary event. And I'm asking for solidarity with the Planned Parenthood in Bellingham. It's been a long time since we have worked in a clinic defense program. I think that's about time to start one up. The last 2 days before the bomb scare got called in on that day and the day before, there was a truck. I don't know how many of you have seen this truck. They go to a lot of the really big national marches. We've seen it in D.C. a couple of times. It's this huge truck that has these really humongous billboards on top that show fetuses that have been supposedly, I mean, they've blown it up, you know, 20 million times. Supposedly fetuses that have been aborted. And that had been circling around the block around Planned Parenthood for about a day and a half right before the bomb scare. So it's very clear that the protest against Planned Parenthood had actually been called for to happen before the election to try to prevent Obama from being elected. And it was very interesting to us that the protests in Bellingham occurred after the election. This van was there after the election, and then the bomb scare happened. So it's very clear that we're very excited about having a black man as president. There's a lot of work we still have to do, and that's one of them. And I want to ask for your solidarity with Planned Parenthood as well. Thank you very much. Fabiola?
Thank you for being here. My name is Fabiola. I'm one of the 26. And I also happen to be the only person of color. Funny enough, I was also one of the only few people of color at the protest. So it kind of makes sense that I'm being targeted now. I've been in the U.S. since I was 7, and I feel like in the past 2 years, there's been an outpour of, and more acceptable racism that I have definitely experienced. This is a really scary time for people of color, and thank you so much for the people of color that have come here today to support me. I really take it to heart. It means a lot, because being the only person of color in this makes it kind of scary. It's really, really scary. When I was there, I feel like I was there to represent myself. I'm not here speaking because I know that there are a lot of people of color that are too, it's too scary to be out here. We're targeted just living our lives and everything. Earlier this year, I was denied housing based on my name. And so it's really, really scary times. And thank you so much for coming today. I hope that I will see you again at any other events that come up, and maybe then I'll have a little bit more words to say. Thank you.
Can the defendants in the Oli 26 case come forward, people who are here?
As well as people that are being prosecuted in Tacoma. Anyone? Everyone, that what happened on November 13th last year and during the entire court protest was not acceptable, and we are not going to stand for it, and we are going to continue to fight until either charges are dropped or we win. Yeah, I think that this, I know that the cops want to kind of like, you know, stomp on us and like stomp our pride, but really for myself, this, it just creates more anger. I'm not going to stop, you know, and I hope that it's the same for everyone here, that this isn't going to stop us from continuing to come out, like just support everyone that is doing anything, because anything in our daily lives, just talking about this is enough. Just, you know, it's not going to stop me. I am angry, and I'm so glad that I can talk about my anger. Thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you to like all of everybody that's here and the legal support team and all the people that like we are only, I think, like one like third or a quarter of the people who are actually being charged in this case, and there are a lot of people out there that have been like tremendously supportive and done a huge amount of work, and I just really, like, it's an amazing feeling to see a community like this coming together, and just thank you. So that's all I wanted to say.
I just want to bring something up about Tacoma. A lot of people don't know this, but do you know the number of people arrested in Tacoma? 13 people arrested in Tacoma this summer. Several were prosecuted. The people who were prosecuted were women and men arrested in individual actions. There was a case where three people were arrested, two women, one man, same action.
Only church.
The man got his charge dropped, but all the women are being prosecuted.
It happened two times. It happened two times, three times, where there were men and women doing actions together, and they only charged the women. Kelly and I are facing obstruction, property destruction, and resisting right now. And all the men who did direct action during Fort Tacoma got their charges dropped. We think that's something really important to note.
Yeah, they weren't necessarily dropped, but they just chose not to selectively prosecute them. And, you know, really in three rounds of prosecution with the Olympia 7, with the, you know, the OE 26, as well as with those who were prosecuted while taking direct action resisting the movement of war machines, only women, people of color, as well as members of the gay community have been prosecuted. There has not been one single white, straight, male-bodied person selected for prosecution in those three rounds of protest. Not to say anything against white, straight, male-bodied people. I sleep with one, so you guys, great, but but it is a concern because, you know, clearly they are focusing on discouraging dissent and those people who have the most to gain by participating in protests are those who traditionally have been excluded from equal civil rights. And they're also those groups that are likely to inspire more people to resist. So this selective prosecution is a orchestrated act of oppression. And, you know, it's not going to stop me. And I know it won't stop you. And, but let's do speak out against that and continue the resistance. We have recently the Pentagon announced that they're going to be sending out a new Striker Combat Brigade, the 5th, out of Fort Lewis sometime in the next 6 months. And then they announced they were going to send the 3rd, which has already been twice over in Iraq. They're going to send them out a 3rd time. So I imagine we're going to have see more and more resistance coming out from the GI movement. And so let's not stop until reparations have been given and the murderers are out of Iraq and Afghanistan. So thank you for coming out. I know that sign waving and, you know, symbolic protests aren't exactly our gig, but it's great to get the support from the community and have an opportunity to speak with some of the media.
Let's all remember to support our independent media. And Olympians who are here, remember, we all know that the Olympian is not our paper. It's not the paper. On the blog, on the Olympian blog, there were death threats posted to people who participated in these actions. And so let's acknowledge also people still coming out into public despite that. And the Olympian just left them up until there was an official complaint. So that's not my paper. Thanks, everybody.
If anyone's interested in helping with fundraising or communication, you can get in touch with any of the people that you saw up here, and we'd love more support in either of those places. So, thank you.